Lord, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts may be truly acceptable to you this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading today has John standing out there in the river. And we can envision John standing there, his clothes soaked, his long hair wet, hanging down. And if we didn't know better, we might think he might have been someone who'd wandered out of the wilderness and was having some kind of breakdown. He was standing there surrounded by people who had come to see him. And they'd come from all around the country. There were even people there from Sidon and Tyre, foreigners. There weren't even Jewish foreigners. They'd come to see him standing there in the river, hoping to hear him speak, hoping to stand next to him and be baptized by him. And he moved around through the crowd, sometimes talking, sometimes yelling, and sometimes bending over and scooping up water and pouring it over someone's head. And I wonder if John knew what was about to happen. I wonder what John was thinking about all these people and why they were there. I wonder if he was thinking about why he was there. You know, I wonder if every once in a while he just stopped and looked around. I wonder if he looked at the crowd and heard what they were saying. Do you think he might have stopped and looked at his hands and what they were doing? You know, I wonder what John was thinking. You know, we don't know a great deal about John the Baptist. We know that he was born to Mary's cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah, a priest who worked in the temple in Jerusalem. And we assume John's early years were at least comfortable and that he was raised to be familiar with the Jewish faith and the role of the temple. And we do know that Elizabeth and Zechariah were already old when he was born. And at some point, John was orphaned. But we aren't told what happened to young John after that. We do know that the orphan son of a temple priest would usually be taken care of by that community of which his parents had been part of. And we also know that in the world of the temple, family heritage was the most important measure of a person's role. And since John's father and mother were both descendants of Aaron, the brother of Moses and the very first high priest, young John would most certainly be carefully raised to prepare to follow his father's footsteps and become a temple priest himself. That's what we would have expected. But today, we find John standing in the middle of a river, in the middle of the Jordan River, with a crowd of temple authorities standing on the shore, watching to determine just how much of a threat he really is. Yeah, something interesting must have happened. Because instead of following the expected path of becoming a temple priest, John ended up on being a voice of a movement whose ultimate prayer was the destruction of the Jerusalem temple. You know, some people believed it was because of the Essenes. And the Essenes were a group of Jewish people, possibly a mix of former temple priests and Sadducees, who believed the temple had become corrupt. And because of their more conservative beliefs, most of them chose to live apart from the temple and the rest of the Jewish community. They isolated themselves. They didn't believe in offering sacrifices as the temple required. They believed that one day soon, God would return and clean out that corrupt temple and replace it with a new one. Everyone in the Jewish community believed in ritual baths to clean their sins. But the Essenes believed in baths or baptisms as part of their daily religious activities. And some of the Essene communities followed strict dietary rules, limiting the diet to locusts and honey. Some of the more even stringent Essene communities didn't marry and were known to adopt orphan boys to raise in the order to sustain the population of their community. And some believe that John's diet, his speaking against the temple, his use of baptism meant that for some reason, young John had left the community of the temple and was adopted into this more conservative anti-temple movement of the Essenes. Now, there are many other ideas about what John experienced and why he ended up standing in the middle of that river. But honestly, as we remember that story and see John standing out there in the water, I don't think that all of that is important. The important thing is that he is there. Something happened in John's life that led him to believe that God wanted something more for people. Something led John to leave the comfort and security of the temple and spend years living in the wilderness, trying to understand what God wanted for him, what God wanted him to do. And at some point, something led John to come out of that wilderness and start telling others about what he believed. And something led people to listen to him and follow him. You know, something happened that put John in the middle of that river. If we knew the truth, there were probably several things that John experienced through his life that helped to bring him to that river. Everything that had happened helped prepare him to fulfill the role that he was fulfilling that day, standing in the river. And for me, how he got there isn't all that important or interesting. But do you know what really interests me? I'd really like to know what John was thinking on the day. What he was thinking was he was standing in that river, talking to the people, baptizing. You know, we know some of the things he said and what he was doing. But I wonder if there was more going on through his head than we're told. I know that I had the privilege of doing a baptism in Nepal while I was there a number of years back now. And I had to take this young man into a pond. And there was lots of things going through my mind at that time. One particular one that comes to mind would think, I'm glad it's him going under this water, not me. There was lots of things that would have been going on in John's mind too. And I wonder if he was thinking about what he was doing. You know, I have an idea that if it was me out there looking at what was going on around, I'd have been thinking about all the steps and things that had brought me to that place. I'm pretty sure that part of my thinking would have been something like, well, finally God has managed to get me where he wants me. I'm not saying that I'd have been proud or bragging about what I'd done. But I'd be, or even thinking about I was better than anyone else or closer to God than they were. But I would have been thinking about just what is it that God wants from me, because I'm only me and I know me. And I have to admit, if I would have probably looked at the crowd and on the lining that shore and the people still filling the roads to get there. And I would have thought inside myself that there's all these people coming. I'd have understood that it wasn't just me that they were coming to see. That I was just simply filling a role that God had for me. But still, after all I'd gone to get there, just look at him. I would have known that I was fulfilling that role that God had given me to prepare people for God's Messiah. And a lot of people believed I was the Messiah, or John was. Some of them were even asking him if he was the one that God had sent. Are you the Messiah? The way they looked at him and hung on every word he said. Even those big shots from the temple were here to see him. I just wonder if John had felt any of those things. And we need to be honest, if you were the one standing out there in the middle of all that praise and excitement, don't you think that some of those thoughts may have gone through your mind too? Don't you think it was possible that you might have had some second thoughts about why you were there, who you were supposed to be? I know that when I was going through the retreat for ordination into the priesthood, I was at these questions of why me? There's so many other people out there. Why me? There was a young man had a dream of starting a business, and he had this for many years, and he developed a new model for designing learning activities for those who struggled with traditional learning. And he spent the past 20 years demonstrating how well this program worked. It was going to be a business with one goal of helping others, helping them to become the person that they dreamt to be. But it would be expensive to create and operate, so he spent many of those years finding resources to make it happen. He'd sacrificed a lot. He'd been laughed at and had doors slammed in his face over and over again, until today. And today he is sitting at a table with a group of people. Each of those people had created their own successful businesses and had the resources that he needed to make his business a reality. They're sitting there to sign the paperwork to give him the money to make his dream come true. And the young man would finally be able to fulfill the role he felt he was being called to and become the helping person he believed that he was supposed to be. Well, the papers were passed around the table and everyone signed them, and the dream had come true. And as they all rose from the table, two of the other walked over to shake the young man's hand. One of them said, "Well, now that you're one of us, you'll of course want to change how you dress and how your wife dresses too." Another person said, "And you'll want to be more careful about the people you spend your time with now that you're one of us." Now that you're one of us. Those words bounced around in that young man's mind. As he tried to sort out his thoughts, a third person took his hand. "Now that you're one of us, of course you will come to the golf outing this Saturday, an invitation-only thing. But now that you're one of us, we look forward to seeing you." And as the days passed, wherever he went, there were more people who stopped to talk to him, people who had never stopped in the past. One offered the use of box seats for football match. Anytime the young man wanted to use them, they were available. Another offered a position on the board of her organisation, looking forward to having the young man's new ideas to explore. And a third said simply, "Now that you're one of us, anytime you need anything at all, just let me know." Other people heard that and saw the conversations. While many people he had never spent time with were now showing up every day, many of those people who had been part of his life for the past many years no longer came around. And when he approached them, even those he had felt closest to, they seemed hesitant to talk with him. It was like that they believed that he was no longer part of their world. His dream had come true, but it wasn't quite the dream that he had dreamed. And one morning, as he's sitting in a restaurant, one of his successful new friends sat down next to him and said, "We all think it's a wonderful gesture to want to try and do something to help other people. But if you want your business to be successful as ours are, your primary focus has to be on ensuring profits, finding opportunities for expansion, and diversifying in the ways to have a more stable base that you can build on in the long term. The idea you have is admirable, but the simple reality is, now that you're one of us, you need to rethink who you are and what you're doing. Now that you're one of us." Those words haunted that young man. They kept him awake at night, churning his stomach all day. Who am I? Who am I meant to be? You know, he had spent so much time and worked so hard to get to this day and become the person he believed he was supposed to be. And now the day is there. He finds himself wondering if that person was who he really wants to be. He sees the opportunity to be more than he thought he wanted to be, and the recognition, the praise, the acceptance, people believing that he might be something more. It just felt good. And that young man knew that he had a huge decision to make. Who am I really? Who am I meant to be? It's a huge decision, and it's a difficult decision, because it's difficult not to get caught up in the opportunities and become distracted from who we are and who we want to be. Opportunities for recognition, for praise, for acceptance, for anything that feeds our desires can cause us to lose track of who we are and who we want to become. And we can lose track of why we are here. And I sometimes wonder if John had to make that same decision. I wonder if John, even for a moment, came so caught up in all that was happening that he thought about believing what the people were saying about him. In my mind, I like to think that John may have wondered. I like to think that he was human enough to have been tempted, even for a moment or two. I like to think that because it makes it all that much more powerful. When he looks at the people asking him to be the person that they want him to be, and he said, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I will come." John remembered his role. He remembered who he was and who he was meant to be. And if John can do that, there's hope for you and I too. No matter how certain we may be in our faith, there are times and there are opportunities that appear that offer us things of which we've only dreamed. Things that offer us answers, money, recognition, pleasure, or anything else that might grab our attention. And all we have to do to have those things is to change who we are and who we want to become. Who are you really? Who do you want to be? Who am I meant to be? What role has God asked you to fulfill? John reminds me that it's easier to answer these questions if I remember that there is one who is more powerful than I, if I remember the role that one has asked me to fulfill. John reminds me that I'm not here to create my following or to my kingdom, but to live my life in a way that reminds those around me there is one greater than me. And that one has asked me to do one thing: tend and feed my sheep. That's my role. That's who I am. That's who I want to be. Now, a bit later, when Jesus appeared in the crowd and John baptized him, the story says that God's voice spoke to Jesus from heaven, saying, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Well, just between you and me, I think that God was very well pleased with John the Baptist as well. May he be well pleased with you and I as well. Amen.